The gospel reading today, we hear our Lord as this man comes to him and asks Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now it's an interesting response, and especially when we hear the rest of the context of it, because this man had to walk a couple of days to be able to come to see our Lord. So in other words, it wasn't just that he was across town and walked a half a mile over to see our Lord. If his servants meet him on the way and said, oh yeah, the fever left him yesterday at 1 o'clock. Okay, well that means that he's been walking home since 1 o'clock yesterday. And so it was not just an easy jaunt over there. And yet at the same time, the Lord would not have said, unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe, unless that's somehow what the guy was looking for. In other words, yes, his son was dying. Yes, he wanted his son to be healed, but he didn't have faith. Let's see if this guy is real. Let's see some fireworks. Let's see some signs and wonders. And so Jesus challenged him. And the man says, come down, please, and heal my son. And Jesus said, your son lives. And it says the man believed. And he turned around and he walked away. We have to ask ourselves, do we have that kind of faith? Do we believe because Jesus said so? He is God. His word is the word of God. His word is absolute. His word is truth. And as it says in Scripture, he spoke and it came to be. Do we really believe that? Something to think about when we read the Scriptures, when we hear the words of our blessed Lord, and to really ask ourselves, do I have the kind of faith to believe in what our Lord has said? One area, especially for those of you who are married, to look at is the first reading. It's interesting, all the things that St. Paul is talking about, because that's the prelude to his speaking about marriage. Be subject to one another out of reverence or fear of the Lord. Wives to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. All these things that he goes on to talk about. And what we just heard doesn't seem like the prelude to talking about marriage. But that's exactly what he's talking about. But do we really believe it? Or when we hear those words, do we just kind of turn our nose up, plug our ears, and make sure that we don't really have to listen? Or come up with really stupid excuses like, well, that was 2,000 years ago, and we live in the 21st century, and maybe St. Paul wouldn't be saying that if he was alive today. Yeah, what St. Paul would have to be saying if he was alive today is quit running away from your spouse, which is kind of what he's saying here, isn't it? Make the best of the time you've got because the days are evil. He didn't say, hey, marriage is easy. Piece of cake. No problem. No, he said, quit getting drunk. Yeah, why are you getting drunk? Because you don't want to deal with your spouse? St. Paul's saying, no, 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 no. Get back to where you belong. He's saying, I mean, again, obviously St. Paul knew what some married couples and how they talk to one another. And so he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Quit swearing at each other and calling each other names. It doesn't work. It's not going to build up your marriage. But how many people do that? Are we really willing to do what God is asking us to do? Are we really, as St. Paul said, willing to give thanks always in all things in the name of our Lord Jesus? I suspect for most married people that on the day that you got married, there was lots of gratitude. What happened? And this was the greatest gift that God ever gave you. You were so happy. You were so excited. What a blessing. And now? Ball and chain. Oh, how rotten. It's like, no, this is still the person God gave you to be married to and to make you a saint. Which is why St. Paul is telling us what he's telling us. But because that particular passage of Scripture is pretty hard, especially when you don't understand it, then it's really hard, then we just ignore it. Somehow we think that doesn't apply. Yeah, it does. It's the Word of God. No, that word didn't come out of the mouth of Jesus. That came from the pen of St. Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's still the Word of God. And therefore, it's still what we have to believe. But that's where the question comes. Do we really believe it? Are we looking for signs and wonders? If again we bring it back to that context, we might say, well, if my spouse were to quit doing this, then I would believe. Maybe the sign or wonder that you really need to look at is not your spouse, but yourself. If I would quit doing this, wow, would that be a sign or a wonder? Sure would. If I'd quit treating my spouse like this, even if my spouse isn't treating me very well, if I quit responding like this, if I were to talk to the person in this kind of a tone, if I were to have this kind of disposition, what a miracle, huh? Maybe that's the miracle God's trying to work, is the one in you, not the one in your spouse. Something to pray about. Something to think about. Maybe we're looking in the wrong direction. Maybe your spouse is sitting there saying, well, when I see my spouse have a conversion, then maybe I'll get my act together. And you're saying, well, when I see my spouse have a conversion, both of you are sitting there in your stubbornness saying, I'm waiting for the other one. Well, how about being the first one to make an act? How about being the first one to say, I need to do something different. I don't need to wait for my spouse because I made a promise that I'm going to love this person. You didn't say as long as that person's loving me or as long as I feel loved by this other person. That's not what you promised. You promised you were going to love this person. That's what you need to do. God's going to take you at your word. And when you stand before him, ask yourself, am I really going to have a case when I stand before the Lord to explain why I didn't, first of all, do what he told me to do? Secondly, why I didn't do what I promised that I was going to do? Because my spouse wasn't doing what he or she promised that they were going to do. He's going to look at you and go, I told you what you were supposed to do, and you made a promise about what you were going to do. And it was an absolute one. It wasn't qualified in any way. I will love you if, I will love you but. No, that's not in there. So again, something to look at. And for those of us who aren't married, then we need to look a little deeper, because for a married person, it's right there in front of them. For those of us who aren't married, it's maybe not as obvious. Are we loving our blessed Lord the way that we're supposed to? Are we loving our neighbor as we should? Because again, maybe it's a little easier in our minds to justify that my neighbor, at least, is a jerk. I don't have to worry about a husband or a wife because I'm not married, but man, those clowns next door, I'm telling you. Well, what's our disposition? Are we truly loving God and neighbor? Maybe we didn't make a vow to love the person next door, but I think we were still commanded to do something like that. That doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. It means you have to be charitable. It means you have to do what's best for the other person. Is that what we're doing? So again, just great challenge for all of us when we listen to these words of St. Paul and when we listen to the words of our Blessed Lord. What are we really looking for? Do we have faith? Are we going to believe because he said it? Or will we only believe when we see some kind of signs and wonders, some sort of extraordinary things? Remember the old saying, ordinarily God works through the ordinary. So if we're waiting for extraordinary things, we're missing the way that he's working in our day-to-day life. So he's going to work through the ordinary circumstances of our life. And that's how he's going to make us saints. We might think if there was something huge, if there was something extraordinary, well then, that's not what he's looking for. Because even if there was something extraordinary, that might light a fire under you, but you still have to live it out day to day. So if he's not going to light a fire, then you just have to say, I need to live it. Whether there's something extraordinary or not, I have to live this. Because that's, again, what we actually made a vow to do on the day that we got baptized. So we're all going to be responsible for that. And then building on your baptism, if you're married, yeah, then you're going to be responsible for that promise, as well as the ones of your baptism. So we all have these things that are there. And we have to look seriously at that and ask, am I really living my life according to what I have promised to God? Am I really believing the Word of God? Am I living my life in accordance with the Word of God? That's a huge challenge, especially in a society like ours that has gone completely astray. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to do what we're supposed to do just because everybody else is doing something different. God's going to look at you and say, you aren't everybody else. You made a promise. And I'm going to hold you responsible for that. How are we doing? Great question for all of us to look at. Great opportunity to examine our conscience and look at the areas, not where my spouse needs to change, not where my neighbors need to be better people, where I need to change so that I can be a better person. So that I can be the person God is calling me to be, so that I can live according to the way that I have promised God that I would live.